Welcome to Never Overnight, where the focus is the struggle, the success, and the story in between. My name is Binod Jacob, and I'm your host. If you're a fan of this podcast, remember to subscribe, review, and share it with your friends by searching Never Overnight wherever you stream your podcast from. Today's conversation is with my friend Daniel George, and it took place in February of 2018. Daniel was in town for NBA All-Star Weekend, which was in Los Angeles, and stopped by the studio. Since this podcast is about storytelling and motivation, I believe the lessons you learn here are timeless, regardless of when the conversation took place. As for Daniel's story, he grew up with a business mindset. He first started selling socks, turned that into a partnership with Nike, and then turned that into his own marketing company called Limitless. The company then became so successful that in 2018, he was named Forbes 30 Under 30. We talk about all of this and so much more on the podcast. Daniel has experienced struggle, success, and this is his story. When I moved here 3 years ago in 2015, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car. I didn't really have anything. The only thing I had was a place to stay. That place to stay was your place. Right. So I got to say thank you, because if I didn't have a place to stay, I don't even think I would have even made the move to LA. But
you had a fake room, dude.
Yeah, I definitely did. I didn't have a
fake
room.
No walls, nothing. There was a bathroom and a loft.
Now, what you're here for this week is All-Star Week.
Right.
And what you're doing in one word is marketing.
Correct.
Okay. What goes on with what you do throughout in a week like this where it's this busy?
So we actually specialize in a certain type of marketing, right? It's called experiential marketing. And what that is essentially is we build experiences for brands, right? And so that's kind of culminates into what we call event marketing.
Yeah.
We build events at a really emotional level between the consumer and the brand. So we come up with creative techniques for people to interact with the brand and their products in order to create somewhat of an emotional attachment to that brand and ultimately leave with, you know, a good taste and somewhat of a sell-through potentially at one point in their life. So a week like this for us, you know, All-Star Weekend is kind of one of our biggest weekends of the whole year, right? And so across the board, not just with basketball, there's, you know, sportswear and fashion brands that are also looking to launch lines during this time too, just because especially it's in Los Angeles, so this is one of your biggest markets in America. So everybody tries to capitalize because all consumers are in one area. For us, we got about, you know, 8 to 10 events that are going on. And so for me and my schedule, per event, I have a team, right? A team of 3 or 4 that's running that event. So across the board, maybe 40 people from my whole team are in Los Angeles right now. My whole Chicago office is in Los Angeles, so I just go around making sure I check up on every single one of the teams. But my biggest thing during this time is to set up meetings with all my clients and all, you know, the higher heads to see what this year looks like. So for me, it's more of a sales week, so I kind of just try to go in and close deals all week.
I can hear from your answers that you really have a business mindset. Was this always with you when you were growing up? Like, how was your upbringing like? Did you always focus on, all right, I want to do business? Like, were your parents involved in the business and you just had it in you?
Well, my mom was very creative.
Okay.
Like, my mom could look at a paperclip and think about, like, 50 different things to do with it, right? So you got to think about it as, like, first generation, right? When our parents first moved to America, they had to come here with absolutely nothing and get creative to save their lives, right? And so my mom was really, really creative growing up, and she kind of put me into, I don't want to say arts and crafts, not like that, but like I would always be watching, you know, what she was doing.
Yeah.
My father was really conservative, but he was really good with his money, how to move his money around, and he really focused on the only place that he would spill his money would be for church. So growing up, I really saw a deep root into faith, right?
Yeah.
But when it came to his financials and the family financials, he was very smart when it came to investments, and he taught me a lot. I wouldn't say I always had a business mindset, but I was really always focused on people.
Yeah,
it's really crazy how I'm in the event business right now, because I literally was a kid in high school that was like throwing all the parties. Like, I was the one that would always bring the kids together, and I was in like a magnet program too, so I was part of like all like the nerds and stuff in high
school. Right. Okay.
But I was cool with all like the people that weren't there, so I was kind of bridging that gap between them.
Okay.
But yeah, like in high school and in college, I'm more so used to, you know, like flip things. Like let's say a cell phone was on the market, I'd buy it, flip it. I'd do little things like that, but you wouldn't categorize me as like a businessman growing up or anything like that.
Okay.
I was more so like the social, let's party type person, you know?
So when you got into school, I believe it was UCF, and then after you did nursing, but you also had a business on the side, the Rock'em Socks. You went into nursing. Was that more like the stability
So for me, my whole thing with nursing was like, you have to look into a field where there's just a lot of opportunity, right?
Yeah.
And with nursing, you can branch out and do whatever you really want. I would walk into a hospital and like open up a pamphlet. It'd be like New Times Roman. The colors were pale, everything. Like you felt like you were going to die when you walked into the hospital. I was like, yo, this can't, there's no way this could be the medical experience. Like
right.
Going into, you know, a hospital, like you should feel like you're going to live, right? If
yeah.
anything, essentially really wanted to do growing up was I was going to get this nursing degree.
Okay.
And my whole thing with it was that I wanted to create an experience for people where they felt like they could actually lean on a medical company than feel like, you know, the medical company was against them. So my whole thing with it was I wanted to learn the pathophysiology behind nursing before starting that business, just so I had somewhat of an advantage when it came to other business owners in the medical field. And so I went into nursing. And then while I was in nursing school, a buddy of mine, he had a custom socks company that he was starting. And he asked me to come in and kind of help him with it. It was a time where like socks were going crazy. You know, there was like a big boom of socks like six
right.
years ago. It was
yeah.
crazy. And so I would be like tweeting Kevin Durant, tweeting like all these people with socks that we already made and designed. And they'd hit us back and be like, yo, I need those socks. Now you would have to pay $100,000 for a post on Instagram. Then like we were sending these socks out for free and they were posting them for free. So the company got pretty big and we were rivaling Nike. What we were doing was taking Nike socks, customizing them, right, to
yeah.
match a shoe drop that was coming out and selling them. And we were doing a few thousand pairs a month. And then Nike sent the company a cease and desist. They thought that we were getting fake pairs from China. So they sent us a lawsuit. And essentially what happened was we hired some really good lawyers and actually beat Nike. And so the big thing in that situation was that for me, I looked at it like, yo, this is an area where obviously Nike needs help with, right?
Right. Considering they sent a cease and desist.
100%, right? So it's
right.
like, it's more opportunity, right?
Yeah.
But at that time, my partner was more so on the, like, F Nike, like, we don't need to deal with them type
right.
side. And I was like, you're crazy. Like, no, this is your opportunity, right?
Yeah.
And so, and at that time, I had finished nursing school. So
okay.
I hadn't passed my NCLEX yet.
Okay.
You know, I failed my NCLEX twice. Because I was focusing on running a company
mm-hmm.
and then trying to pass this test that's supposed to save people's lives. Like I was like two things that were completely, you know, different
yeah.
spectrum. So once I left the company, I actually just studied for my NCLEX and then I passed it. And then I was in orientation as a nurse. And then while I was in orientation, I got a call from Nike. And they're like, hey, this is Daniel George. How would you feel about coming in and doing some consulting for us in regards to our sock market?
Did you reach out to them prior to that?
No.
Oh, wow.
They
okay.
reached out to me and I was like, sure. Like, I was like, why not? Right. And they're like,
right.
you need to come out to Los Angeles. We'll fly you out, do some consulting for us. Basically, I went out there. I told my nurse manager, I was like, hey, Nike called me. Is there any way I can go out there? She's like, listen, like, this is nursing orientation. You can't just leave. You got patients. You know what I mean? Like, you can't
yeah.
just leave. Anyways, I begged her and she was like, fine, you can go. And so I went over there and I had a little session with them and talked to them about what I thought the way marketing was going when it came to their lane. And they used it. They used it for an event and it worked out for them. And then I came back and I get a call back from them. So like orientation's 2 months long, right? So I'm in maybe my fourth week when I get my second call from them. They're like, hey, how would you feel about coming back and doing some more consulting for us, right? Also, on top of it, I don't make things about financials, but they were paying like a nursing salary like in
okay.
a weekend. So I was like, yo, this makes absolutely no sense.
Right, okay.
Right? And
yeah.
so I looked at the opportunity and I asked my nurse manager again. She's like, hey, listen, this is like the final time you can do this. People become nurses to be nurses for the rest of their life. You can't just like leave orientation, right?
Yeah.
She was like, go ahead. And so I went. And this time around, they brought out like a pair of shoes that were coming out like 3 years later. They're like, yo, how would you launch this shoe? And so I worked back with a buddy of mine and we've built this plan out. I wasn't there to be able to execute it. I had to come back and do orientation. But it worked out very, very well, and it had to deal with putting this random disruptive cube outside of the Nokia Arena out here.
Okay.
And like Blake Griffin and Chris Paul were in there just throwing like alleys to each other, and nobody really knew about it, and all of a sudden it got super viral.
Okay.
And it blew up on all the blogs and all this. Kendrick Lamar performed. It was a time where the culture was really building up, and it really worked out. Long story short, I come back home, and like outside of my door at home is like four boxes, right?
Yeah.
And like boxes. So inside each box is like eight pairs of Jordans. right? And I'm like, yo, what is going on? This is like the greatest day of my life, right? Like, yeah. I'm getting paid to go to Los Angeles and consult. Come back home, there's Jordans, right?
Right.
So I call my buddy, and Nike's like, yo, what is this? He's like, yeah, well, it's just a thank you from Nike, but ultimately I think they want you to maybe come on board over there at Nike. And so I'm in my last week of orientation, and Nike calls me, and they're like, hey, we have this, you know, specialist position that's opening up in the West Coast. How would you feel about coming over and working with us? And I was so strung up, like, on starting my medical companies, right, at the end of the day, because I just came back from being part of a company, having that financial freedom, and so I declined the offer.
Wow.
Yeah.
So nursing was the safe bet, and that's why you declined? Like, what made you decline it, considering you just said that in one weekend you got the salary of a nurse, but what made you all of a sudden say no?
Well, I said no because I wanted to I wanted my own thing. I didn't want to go corporate.
Okay.
I just wanted the freedom to do what I wanted to do, to create the way I wanted to create. Anyways, I'm in my last day of orientation, and a lot of people don't realize this, and I didn't even know this, because so now, basically, when you do work for a big company, they pay you in net terms, right? Yeah. So I was getting paid 30 days after I was doing my consulting, right? And the checks were coming from, like, a different company. It would be coming from, like, another marketing agency's name. Mm-hmm. It wasn't coming from Nike. And so I called my buddy up. I was like, hey, how come I'm not getting these checks from Nike? It's coming from, like, other, like, companies. He's like, hey, that's how we do everything. Like, we outsource all of our marketing and all of our payments through companies to pay you. And so I was like, yo, how about this? I'll just start my own agency, right? And you guys will be my first client. And X amount of dollars will go to the agency for the first year. And I'll move out to Los Angeles next week and start this whole thing. And he was like, done, done, and done. And then that's how Limitless kind of started. So they brought me in as a vendor, as myself. And basically, I was faking being a multi-employee marketing, marketing agency for like a year. And it started off with, you know, small projects. And now, you know, by God's grace, we've been able to get some big ones. But yeah, like that's how the whole thing started. Just kind of flipped the script on them.
And once Limitless started, was there any worries in your head where it's just like...
I never thought it was going to be what it's going to be right now. One, because I've never been in the lane before, and I basically just said I'll figure it out. And trying to figure it out doesn't usually equate to a good situation.
Right.
But like when I first moved to Los Angeles, I mean, you get paid every 30 or 60 days, sometimes 100 days. It depends on when the person processes that payment in the brand or in your client. I mean, I was completely maxed out. All my credit cards completely maxed out. No money in my bank account. I was sleeping on my floor for at least four to six months. And it was just me by myself. And I couldn't afford salary. Dude, I was eating ramen. It was terrible, man.
That was like, your struggle.
Yeah, it was my struggle. And my parents never knew about it because my parents, you know, what's marketing?
Right.
To them, right?
My parents, it's what's radio.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And so... only after, I'd say, like, 6 to 8 months did I really see some type of money coming in where I could buy a bed, what I mean, and chill. Yeah. So that was a big struggle because this is so left field for what we do usually that you kind of somewhat have to be a little crazy.
In those 6-8 months, I mean, you mentioned your struggle. How did you get through that day to day, knowing that your credit cards are maxed out, knowing that you don't have the bed to sleep on? Like, how'd you get through that?
A big thing for me is... who you keep around you. So in LA, it's not hard to find people that are trying to make it.
Right. Yeah.
So like
all over.
It's everywhere. Yeah. Right. So like my friends that were here, like they were just starting off in their positions at their jobs.
Okay.
They were just blowing up. We were all in the same, you know, grind. So for me, the easiest thing I had were my friends, because I didn't have any family out here. So we would be doing the same things like every day from morning to till night. We'd all be together trying to figure this whole thing out. So that's one thing. A lot of meditation, a lot of prayer, definitely. And faith, I think, was a big catalyst as well. But really, for me, until this day, is you take everything a day at a time, man.
Even today?
Even to this day, right? And so for me, back then, there was a point in time where I was just like, yo, this is not going to happen in a day or two, right? This is a 5-year plan, really. And so that mentality, really changing the way you think, ultimately surrounding yourself with the right research, podcasts, books, things like that are what really kept my spirits really high.
Are you a person that believes that a person should have, or it's like a lot of different plans, and then you just go with the plan that can succeed the most? Or are you someone that believes in just having one passion and going all in on that one passion?
I think there's two types of people when it comes to like your definition of success, right? It's the one that takes the large leap and risks it all And then there's the one that takes calculated risk. And I think for me, this idea of like going and just jumping into something is a very glorified idea. But to me, I wasn't raised that way. I truly, truly believe in calculated risk. My father, who's an insurance man, he would always preach to my brother and I, like always have a tenant before buying a investment property. So same thing. For example, when I started my company, I got my nursing degree. If all else failed, right, I could still be a nurse, right? Then I started my company. So that was a calculated risk, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't just move out to Chicago and start the second office. I had hella business lined up in Chicago, then went to Chicago and opened my office and that kind of flourished. Same thing that we're doing in Toronto, same thing we're doing in Dubai right now, right? So we go, we get all this business lined up, and then we go in there and open up offices. So for me, I definitely believe in diversifying your stability, your eggs, especially when it comes to stability. Mm. The one thing people are like, yeah, well, you wasted your time doing nursing. No, I didn't. I didn't waste my time doing nursing. What I did was become disciplined. I failed my NCLEX twice, right? Like,
yeah.
I didn't just stop. I was like, oh, screw this. I'm going to go start a company. No, like I had to see everything through because it more so proves something to me, right? And it shows that you can actually see something through even when the odds are against you. So I definitely believe more so in diversifying and in calculated risk more so than jumping into things and trying to figure it out.
A big accomplishment for you was the Forbes 30 Under 30.
Right.
A lot of people obviously want to do that. I guess walk me through that feeling when you got it, how you felt about it.
I always wanted to be on Forbes 30 Under 30. Like right. even growing up, I'd be like, yo, this is like the epitome of like everything, right? I need to be on Forbes 30 Under 30.
Yeah.
And I rock with Forbes 30 Under 30 because it's not about money. It's more so about influence and it's about your what you can do in that field and the type of dent that you make in it. So when they reached out to me for like bios and interviews and stuff like that, they're like, they always tell you, hey, we're just interviewing you. It doesn't mean that you're going to make it.
Okay.
Right. So in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not making this thing. Right. And so you basically write out a book for them about your life. And then on January, like I believe the 4th is when it came out for my year. I remember like I was always checking every day on Google, like Forbes 30 Under 30 every day and just clicking like news to see what the newest thing is about it. And they're like, oh, it comes out tomorrow. So I remember that night waking up at like 4 a.m. and then just flipping through my phone and it showed up. It said Forbes 30 Under 30 marketing and advertising. And I'm flipping through it. Right. And there's 30 people. I get to like number 27. I'm like, yo, there's no way I'm like, there's no way I'm on this. And I click it and then I saw my face on it. And I called my mom and dad like right away. I was like, yo, mom, dad, like I really made Forbes. Like, this is crazy. And then my mom started crying. I'm like,
right,
oh, now you understand what I do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? No, I'm just playing. So because you got to remember, for me, it's a huge accomplishment because I didn't take a business class. I've never taken a marketing class or anything like that.
Right.
And that validifies everything. This was like the stamp. Till this day, I look at it as the gift that keeps on giving. People just associate you with, you know, a very profound magazine and a list that a lot of people don't make. And for me, I look at it as a platform to be able to tell people, you know, like, you don't need the business degree. You don't need that. You just need some discipline and need some tenacity and you can kind of accomplish what you want to do.
But after that, it's just like, what do you do then?
Because I think, so for me at that time, I had to put myself in that world, right? I need to make Forbes. So now I've completely had to remove myself from that situation. I'm more so now thinking about like global domination.
Okay.
So like complete.
Someone sounds like Dr. Evil.
Right. No, so I'm more so thinking about how do we get out the confines of just America.
Okay.
Let's think about how we can bring our ideas and our type of company culture to other nations, other areas around the world where they need it.
What do you want your legacy to be? Because you're still, how old are you? You're still under.
I turned 27 on Saturday.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, your birthday is coming up. What are you going to do for your birthday?
Nothing, man. I'm chilling, keeping it low key. I'm working. I haven't celebrated my birthday for 5 years because my niece was born on my birthday, Sayla. So I've completely been put on the back burner for my family. It's probably going to happen for the rest of my life. So I haven't really got to celebrate my birthday. I got a few of my homies in town. And we'll probably just go to dinner and keep it low-key. But for me...
That's funny because a lot of people on their birthday, they want to, you know, go to the high-end clubs and pop bottles. And it's funny because where you are in life, you can actually do that.
Yeah.
And instead, you're doing the exact opposite where it's like, hey, man, it's about this experience.
This is a very new... I did the whole bottles and popping.
Okay.
I've done it. this year is a year about just balance for me. A lot of it is just laying low and being super focused, because I can't have no weaknesses in the game right now if I want to go and try to do the other things that we want to do.
Okay.
My thing, what I've realized is this.
Yeah.
The people that are really making moves, you're not seeing them in the club. And so in order to make the moves that I want to make, I need to be in the same rooms as those people. So
is it difficult separating yourself from people that want to do that? Because I'm sure you also have people in your life that are just like, yo, DJ, you can do it.
Right.
So let's go out.
That's everybody, right?
So is it difficult to separate that?
What you realize is that you've built that culture around you. And so you're the leader of that culture.
Right.
Right. And so if you want to change it up, you can change it up, because what's the point?
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I think we're at that point where, for me, I'm still, you'd say I'm a little young or whatever, but I have to put myself in the mind and the acts of like a 45-year-old if I want to close a deal with a 45-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's the evolution of where I need to go. The next step in my life is the moves are a little bigger than what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
And for that reason, I have to make those adjustments.
So what would you want to be 5 years from now, from this very moment?
I just want to be able to create, man, as cliche as it sounds, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, man, 5 years from now, if what I could do is create, and it's creating for brands, creating for the kingdom, whatever it is, that's it. I'm not the most, like, I don't need a lot, man. I like convenience. I like the comfortable things. But for me, it's more so let me be able to create and believe in the vision and put people in place to execute it and to actually see that vision through. That's pretty much it, man. I'm not really asking for a lot. 5 years from now, if I can make Limitless a platform to be able to do whatever I want to do, that would be the goal, really.
You mentioned faith a few times. How important is faith to you?
It's everything. I truly believe, like, you know, the minute you're born, time's ticking, right?
Yeah.
And you have no control over that.
Right. With the way I think, it's just like also in the 24-hour mindset where it's like, yo, we are not guaranteed the next morning.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the biggest thing. You only have X amount of time to do what you can for the kingdom. Everything else is very fleeting. There's nothing else to it. And that's the one thing that really keeps me kind of grounded. It's really the fact that all this stuff is very, very fleeting. At the end of the day, can't take it with you, man.
Right, yeah.
Right? Like, I always tell people, like, don't get so engulfed in what we do. Like, at the end of the day, we are just launching a sneaker. Since they've taken that in, my coworkers have really, their level of production has tripled. Because they find themselves realizing, hey, I need to take a deep breath away, and they come back with fresh new perspective. And so that's our biggest thing. Like, man, at the end of the day, the work is cool, but all this stuff is very, very fleeting. At the end of the day, what are you really doing, you know?
Yeah. Dude, this is like an hour of power.
So what has Daniel been up to since his conversation? Well, his company Limitless Creative has turned into a multi-million dollar global marketing agency with offices around the world. In December of 2021, he co-founded Air, which is a next generation holding company that builds culturally inspired consumer brands rooted in sports, tech, and entertainment. And most recently, he's gotten into the restaurant business with the critically acclaimed Chicago Italian restaurant Gino and Marty's. Congratulations to Daniel on all his continued success. If you're a fan of this podcast, remember to subscribe, review, and share it with your friends by searching for Never Overnight wherever you stream your podcast from. My name is Binaj, and thanks for listening.